This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, and welcome to our Ramadan special session with Sheikh Akram Nadwi. This is with Assalam Institute, which Sheikh Akram is the principal and co-founder of, alhamdulillah. Just firstly, Ramadan Mubarak from the ASI team to all of you, to our regular Q&A viewers and our students and anyone else who is tuning in around the world, inshallah. We pray that we can all benefit from this blessed month as best as possible, inshallah. And anything, any good habits that we all take, we can carry on until the end of the month and until after Ramadan is finished, inshallah. This session will be from 6 to 7, inshallah. We'll try and finish promptly at 7 due to iftar being around 7:45 in the UK, inshallah. So we're going to try and not go over. We will have around 30 to 40 minutes of Sheikh Akram speaking. And then anyone who has any questions, any Ramadan-specific questions, we'll have a Q&A at the end, inshallah. So please just ask your questions in the comments and inshallah, we'll try to take them in order. Without any further ado, inshallah, I'll leave it to Sheikh.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahabihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. So alhamdulillah, we are in the month of Ramadan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped us to fast the month of Ramadan and also to perform the prayers and read the Quran and try to understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great blessing and rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the people. When the month of Ramadan comes, very often we miss the real meaning behind the month of Ramadan. Some people think that the month of Ramadan is to train you to remain hungry, and when you are hungry you become weaker, and then you don't follow your desire. And that's why many ulama, especially Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, they have advised to eat less in month of Ramadan, you know. And then he has divided the fasting into three categories: fasting of the awam, common people, lay people, and the fasting of the khawas, you know, special people, and fasting of Akhassul Khawas, the most special. And in all that, he has emphasized to remain hungry. So, you know, that's how many people think. But if you look very carefully, really, in the verse of the Quran, and try to understand the meaning. And try to understand the meaning of Ramadan, you'll find really the reason is something else. Because in the month of Ramadan, there is no single hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any sunnah, which advises the believers to eat less. Actually, on the contrary, there are hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when the month of Ramadan comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the provision of the believers. They get more food from Allah. And that's true, really, that in month of Ramadan, you can see Muslims all over the world, they have more food. You know, even the poor people, their food in month of Ramadan becomes better. So the quality and the quantity, everybody, same thing. Actually, more likely Muslims eat more in Ramadan than they eat in any other month. And, you know, if Allah said in this month the provision of the believers is increased, so there's no point to keep the provision until the month of Shawwal. If it increases in Ramadan, it means you have to eat in Ramadan. So that's not the case. Actually, also you can see some areas, maybe day of Ramadan is very short. The people don't feel any hunger, nothing. So why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the month of Ramadan, that we need to understand. You know, if we understand that, it will help us to observe the month of Ramadan properly. Actually, same all the ibadah. We do them and we don't understand what is the meaning behind that. That is why we don't benefit from them. If you understand, then you benefit more and more. Like when you do physical exercise and you understand the meaning behind every different exercise, you get more benefits. So similarly, every ibadah has its own impact into the fasting, the prayer, the hajj, zakat, and everything has its own benefit. And we need to learn that properly and make effort to get those benefits in our lives. First, before I explain the specific benefit of the fasting of month of Ramadan, let me make you clear to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in this world, and He wants to test us. And test is that the certain qualities He wants us to attain them before we die. And if we attain them, then we are successful. And if we don't attain them, then we fail. So what are those qualities that He wants us to attain before we die? Iman, to have certain belief in Him, faith in Him. Islam, to surrender to Him, submission, full submission to Him. Similarly, taqwa, sabr. You know, people have desire, people have and they become angry. So Allah wants people to train themselves to control the anger. That's a hilm. People disobey Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to train themselves to become obedient. So these are the qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants people to attain them before they die. That's what we call Usuluddin. Usuluddin means the fundamentals of the religion. Those are things for which Allah has made the religion. So the purpose of religion actually is this. So fasting itself is not a purpose of other religion. Fasting is a means to something else. And the prayer is not a purpose of religion. It actually means to something else. When you pray, you remember Allah. Remembrance of Allah is the purpose. Humility in front of Him. Being able to obey Him every time, as He said, when He said, stand, we stand. When He wants us to do ruku, we do ruku. So the purpose actually is something different. So fasting of Ramadan has a purpose, and that is Quran said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. You get taqwa. That what we call Usuluddin. Usuluddin are those fundamentals which we have to attain them before we die. To attain those Usuluddin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory certain practices. They help them. So they are called, major branches of these usul, like salah, zakat, fasting. So they are not usul, but they are the major branches which help to get those fundamentals. And then there are also minor branches, which I explained in so many classes. So that keep in mind. So every time we do any ritual, every time we do any practice, every time you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look really what is the usul behind that, what Allah wants us to achieve. In some cases, He wants us to achieve sabr. Sometimes He wants us to achieve taqwa. Sometimes He wants to achieve hilm. Sometimes He wants us to achieve dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some ibadah have got more than one aspect. Like fasting has got taqwa and also sabr, patience. Taqwa and sabr, both are very much related anyway. So, and once you get a taqwa, then many other ibadat become easier. Even actually reading the Quran becomes easier. And because the Quran said, Hudal lil muttaqeen. The Quran, the book, guidance for muttaqeen. If you have taqwa, then it guides you, helps you. Taqwa helps in so many ibadat in the whole life. So what is taqwa? That we need to understand. It is not something that you just pretend and show to the people. Taqwa is not wearing clothes like some people put on, you know, like Ramadan comes to many Muslims, they put on Arab thawb, or South Asian people, they put on kurta, pajama, and topi, the hat, and they go to the mosque. This is not the taqwa. Taqwa is not the clothes. Taqwa is not that you your appearance. Taqwa is something different that we need to understand. Taqwa is something you cannot show to the people. Taqwa is something seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something deep in your heart. You know, when a heart becomes clean and pure and taqwa comes, then everything else becomes better. So that what we need to train ourselves, this taqwa. What taqwa is? Taqwa has got three parts and each are very, very important. If you, they don't exist, you don't get taqwa. So, you know, in order to do any ibadah and get taqwa, you need to check really in that, have you got all the three or not? So what the three things are? First is khawf, fear of Allah. That, you know, taqwa comes from the fear of Allah. That, you know, fear him that he can punish you. Fear him that you can be deprived of his love. So this fear is not like we fear the lions or frightening things. The fear is the fear of the beloved one. Like, you know, you fear your mom, that, you know, if you disobey her, don't listen to her, you know, then you are deprived of her love. And her love is important for us to, for you to survive. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, if we don't listen to him, then, you know, he can deprive us of his love and also punish us. So that the fear, khawf. Khawf should be very, very deep, really. That in this world you live with this fear. You are not, you know, in a peace, basically. Your heart always should think that, you know, maybe I do any mistake which Allah does not like. All the time is scared. And being fearful become your habit. And you need to die with this fear. This fear, if the fear comes, then everything will be fine. You know, sometimes you can see the people, they harm others. They hurt whenever they get chance. Because they don't fear Allah. If they fear Allah, they know really. If they harm anybody, Allah can harm them more. If they hurt anybody, Allah can hurt them more and more. But because there is no fear, so people keep doing this thing. And this injustice and wrongdoing is so common in the cheating. People cheat because they think the people don't know. But what they don't understand, Allah knows. So the fear. And that what actually was very deep in the among the, in the Prophet's heart, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his companions. That in that what they always used to think that if, before we do any sin, Allah sees us. So the first part of the taqwa is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second part of taqwa is muraqaba. What muraqaba means? Muraqaba means that Allah is seeing us. He watches us. So wherever we are, you know, whether we are in public, whether we are in a private space, alone, anywhere in the world, he sees us. So, you know, you can't avoid, you can't basically escape him. You can't hide yourself from him. Sometimes, you know, if you fear your mom, but your mom is not everywhere. So you do things which she does not like, but she doesn't know. Sometimes you fear the state. You break the law, but nobody knows because nobody can see you. There's no camera, nothing. So very often people break the law. They disobey the people because they can hide the crime. But nobody can hide, you know, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's impossible. Muraqaba. All the time thinking, even actually your thoughts and ideas, what happening in your mind, it all noticed by him. He sees all the things that occur in your heart. Whatever we think, you know, if I'm jealous of someone, he knows. if I want to harm anybody, I make a plan to harm someone, he knows. He knows everything. So whenever people make a plan to do evil, Allah knows that. To muraqaba, we have to get it deep in our mind, he sees. And that's what happened in Ramadan anyway. That why Ramadan is best mean for taqwa. Because in your fast in the month of Ramadan, and when you're alone, you don't eat and drink. Nobody sees you. So why don't you drink and eat? Because you fear Allah. So in the month of Ramadan, believers have enough time or chances to break the fast, and nobody will notice. In front of the people, you don't eat and drink. But when you're alone, you can eat and drink. Nobody can know what is happening. But still you don't eat and drink. Why? Because you believe that Allah sees you. You know that. Even the children, when they're alone, they don't break. Maybe sometime, some of them do. But generally, even the children don't do this thing. They keep their fast properly. They want, to attend the meaning of the fast. So Ramadan develop the habit of muraqabah among the people. The second thing. The third thing is ta'a, that when you believe that Allah, when you fear Allah and you know that He sees you, then what happens is you obey Him. And you don't do any act of disobedience that stop you. That what Ramadan is really, to develop in among the believers this habit. So keep in mind the three parts: khawf, the fear of Allah. The second part is muraqabah, that Allah is seeing you, He's watching you. And the third part is that you have to avoid anything that is sinful. To do what He commands and avoid all those things which he does not like. He does not permit, does not allow the people to do. That's what we need to do. So in Ramadan, as it is important not to eat, not to drink, not to have sexual relation during the daytime, more than that, actually important Ramadan is not to lie. If you lie in the month of Ramadan, it is worse than eating and drinking. If you backbite someone, that is worse than eating and drinking. So you have to be careful about the month of Ramadan. Don't disobey him. Because the sin of disobedience in the month of Ramadan is multiplied by many, many times. As actually the ibadah, the reward, is multiplied by many, many times. So this we have to develop. Don't hurt anybody. Don't harm anybody. If somebody wants to abuse you, you remain quiet and tell yourself that I'm fasting. So don't answer back. Sometime, maybe somebody writes something offensive against you. Don't answer back. Be quiet. And anything that hurts anybody, be away from that. So this is very important, that in month of Ramadan, you make sure that you get all these three qualities before the month ends. And then these three qualities will help you for whole your life. They will make you pious. That's what pious people mean, really. A pious person fears Allah. He knows that Allah sees him all the time. And he only does what Allah commands him. And he avoids everything that Allah forbids. So that's a sign of the piety. In order to get all these things, three things, you need to do something. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create values on their own. Values come after doing something. So in order to get all these three, you need to, in the month of Ramadan, to do things that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have commanded. The first of all that is the fasting. That do fast properly, as He commanded. Allah does not mind if people eat good food in Ramadan or they eat more. That He does not mind. But He wants the people to obey Him. So get up early morning before the Fajr time and have some suhoor. And the Prophet ﷺ has said, Tasahharu fa'inna fi suhoor baraka. Get food in early morning because it has baraka. So Allah has put baraka in it. It helps you to fast all the day. And also it helps you to get some good meaning in your heart. Remain fasting all the day. And then when the sun sets, then you eat something, to break your fast, as soon as the sun sets, there's no reason to delay because you don't get any reward in delaying. So sometimes your mind can say, okay, if I, stop eating, 1 hour more or 2 hour more, I become, much better. No, you are pious if you eat as soon as the sun sets. That why the Prophet said, my ummah will remain, on good path as long as they delay the suhoor, do suhoor, and at the end of the night before the dawn, delay it, not to early night, and they will be on good path as long as they hasten for breakfast. As soon as the sun sets, you eat. But certainly believers don't fill the stomach anyway. The Prophet ﷺ has said, when you eat 1/3 for the food, 1/3 for the drink, and 1/3 for your breath. So don't eat too much anyway, not in Ramadan, not outside Ramadan. Be moderate. So eat. If you fill yourself, then you can't do other ibadah. You can't pray in the night. You can't read the Quran because you'll be so tired. So always keep the balance in eating and drinking. So this is the first most important that you do in Ramadan. Actually, people fast a month of Ramadan. That's enough. Allah does not, command people to fast Shawwal 6 days. Or, if people do, that's a different matter. But Allah is highly pleased with the people if they just fast the month of Ramadan. That's what He made obligatory. So that keep in mind. Don't be lazy. Do suhoor properly and do iftar properly in the month of Ramadan. Second thing that you do in this month, like any other month, your prayers on time. Don't miss any prayer. Fajr on the time of the Fajr, Zuhr on the time of the Zuhr, Asr on the time of the Asr. Because the fasting, if you miss any prayer, you get more sin. Because the prayer is more important than the fasting. The prayer is the most important obligation that Allah has made. So one has to understand all the time that fasting has come to help you to become more obedient. But if the fasting stops you from being more obedient, then there's something wrong. So don't miss any prayer, and do in the jama'ah whenever you can do, or if you pray at home, at least make jama'ah, so you get a reward multiplied by many, many times. People who are at work, like Zuhr time or Asr time, if they can't make jama'ah, then they can pray on their own, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. So that is the second most important thing that you do in the month of Ramadan, in the prayers on the time. And the third thing is reading the Quran, because Ramadan has got very strong relation with the Quran. That why the verse of fasting said, Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, month of Ramadan in which the Quran has been sent down. And month of Ramadan makes you to get taqwa, and Quran actually is beneficial to those who taqwa, hudan lil-muttaqin. You can see Ramadan and Quran are very much supporting each other. So people should actually make effort to understand the Quran. Reading with the lips and making many, many khatm, it has no benefit. Try to understand really. The Quran is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you read it, try to understand. If you know Arabic, that's fine. If you don't know Arabic, then get a translation in the language that you know. And then read Arabic and then read also the translation and reflect on that. See what it means. How can you get those qualities which Allah wants you to try to understand the Quran as much as possible? That is why in the month of Ramadan, the Taraweeh prayer, after Isha, so people should do, but that's not further. Those people behave as they are further. If some people are working and in the month of Ramadan, especially when the days are longer, they think they can't manage Taraweeh, there's no harm in that. They pray Isha and Fajr and Jama'ah, they get a reward of all the night. So don't force yourself for something which is not easy for, difficult for you. Pray as well. And also, it's not necessary that you do 20 rak'ah. If you can do 10 rak'ah, do 10, 8 rak'ah, whatever you can do easily, do and read Quran. For the prayer, should be done in Jama'ah with the Imam. But Taraweeh, it is better to do on your own. if you can don't if you know the Quran by heart, do your Taraweeh. But if you don't know the Quran by heart, you can read, you can hold the Mus'haf and read from the Quran and do your Taraweeh. You get the reward. So that, you know, third thing that you do in Ramadan. And the fourth thing is, you know, whenever you walk and go anywhere, keep doing dhikr. You know, either reading the Quran or Subhanallah, wa alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu akbar, wa la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. And salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as possible. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa barik wa sallam. There are many, many verses, different words of the salat on the Prophet. And istighfar. Ask Allah to forgive your sins. You know, make this habit. So when you ask Allah to forgive your sins, know really that when you do more sins, you need to do more istighfar. So that's why it is better to do less sins in, and do more istighfar. But whenever you do a sin, then do more istighfar. Don't sit until your sins are forgiven. So these are the main ibadat that you do in the month of Ramadan. Besides that, you know, if you are rich enough to pay zakat, it is better this month you pay zakat, or you have already paid zakat in Sha'ban or other months, to still do some charity, some sadaqah to the poor people to help them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very generous, but in the month of Ramadan he used to become more generous. Yeah. So, you know, think really, there are Muslims in many countries, they don't have enough to eat and drink. Send some money to them, help them. Among your relatives, there are people who are poor, help them. So wherever you see the people are poor and they need help, help them, you know, you get reward for that. Sometimes clothing, people don't have enough clothes, you help them, food, money. So in the month of Ramadan, be more generous. And beside all these ibadat, the main thing that I said to you, don't disobey Allah. Make obligatory upon you. Don't lie, don't backbite, don't hurt anybody, don't say any sentence which is rude to anybody. Always keep your, hold your tongue, be quiet, you know, don't speak much, you know, you'll be safe. Because there's no need to speak a lot anyway. Angels are writing down everything. So be very, very careful about speech that you make from your tongue. Month of Ramadan. So this is the thing. And then this is the month in which there is a night of the Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, which actually one a night is better than, I don't know how many, because Quran says better than 1,000 month, but it does not mean 1,000. Arab people sometimes say, they say 1,000, they mean a lot. So, you know, it means some better than 1,000, the last number in Arabic language. This night is, you know, much better. It could be any time in this month. Generally, it is in the month of Ramadan, and most likely in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and most likely in the old nights of the last 10 nights. That way the Prophet used to do i'tikaf in the last 10 nights in the mosque. Itikaf is sunnah in the mosques, not at home. So people should, men and women both, they used to do itikaf in the mosque. In the mosque you can get place for men separately and for women separately, and they do in their itikaf. So when they are in the itikaf, they get the reward all the time. Itikaf itself is ibadah. So they get the reward of this ibadah. Make force yourself to wake up. So that's actually very important. That, you know, late night you wake up, you do some prayer, some salah, and then make dua and ask Allah to do, you know, to forgive you. Or your mind all the time should keep thinking that you are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you need to obey Him. And you need to become nearer to Him. So these things you need to keep thinking all the time in the month of Ramadan. And there are some important issues that you need to know really in the month of Ramadan. So like the women, when they are in menstruation, they can't fast. So they have to wait after Ramadan, and then they fast those days. Women who are breastfeeding, If they think it can affect their children, child, babies, then they can, they allow not to fast, but they have to do qada, you know, later on. Or women who are pregnant and they feel too weak to fast, so they could be exempted from fasting, but they have to fast the same day, other time. Same thing, anybody who's ill, not feeling well, they're allowed not to fast, and then they have to make those numbers. If you are traveling, you are allowed not to fast, but then you have to make those numbers, you know, later on, whenever you have time. You are not allowed to eat and drink in Ramadan intentionally, knowingly. If you do that, then you break your fast, and you have to make one day for that day, and also kafara. Kafara will be 2 months continuously for one day. So 1 day and plus two more months. So that is, or 60 poor, feeding 60 poor people. So keep in mind, if people break without any excuse, break the fast, this will be the kafara for the people. But if there is excuse, then it is a different matter. You know, for somebody not feeling well and doctors have advised him to break the fast, and if they break because of that, then there is no harm. In the month of Ramadan, if somebody eats and drinks, forgetfully, just, you know, you didn't realize Ramadan, I just ate without knowing, and then it does not harm your fast, it's still fine. But if you eat and drink by mistake in Hanafi madhab, like you're doing wudu, you know you're fasting, but somehow the water went through your throat and you drank the water, so then your fast is gone and you have to do qada of 1 day. So Hanafi madhab, Hanafi people, they make a difference between forgetfulness and between the mistake. Most or jurists, most fuqaha, they don't make a difference between these two, and they say if people forget or people do mistake, in the both cases the fasting is valid and they don't need to do any qada or kafara. So I stop it here, and if you have any question, please ask.
Okay, inshallah. We've been receiving questions from the beginning, so we'll try and start from the top, and we will try and finish, inshallah, at 7 o'clock. So, Sheikh, the first question we have is from Amina. Her question is, I suffer from severe hay fever. Is it permissible to use eye drops, nasal sprays, and inhalers whilst fasting?
You know, as far as, you know, drops, eye drops, there's no harm anyway. Nobody actually has problem by inhaler or something like that. Some people mind, but generally people think it's not like eating, drinking. So I follow the opinion that, like, you know, to use some sprays and something like that, we can help you, and there's no harm. But it is better to avoid that, as long as, you know, if eye drops can help you, that's much better. But if somehow you think that the conditions are worsening, then you can use inhalers or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Our next question is quite interesting. This is from Sister Fariha. Is it okay to recite the Quran a little faster in Ramadan so that we can finish in larger number? So, Sheikh, many of us have probably made the intention of reciting the Quran at least once, and we've set ourselves a daily target, which means sometimes we are rushing. Is this okay?
Actually, people should never rush. It is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, whatever time you spend, you are rewarded for that. You know, it is not that you finish more, you get more reward. You know, if you spend 1 hour with the Quran, it doesn't matter how much you finish in 1 hour, you get the reward of 1 hour. To concentrate and think more and more. It is better at least to finish one Quran, but don't worry, because there's no sunnah like that. You know, even if you read half Quran in Ramadan or one juz, it's still fine, but to think and understand, because that impact will be lasting. If people read with their lips, nothing happens really. Nothing happens in your soul, nothing happens in your heart and mind. Allah wants to change your mind. And that happens with the knowledge. And knowledge comes by think, understanding. If you don't understand the Quran, you don't get any knowledge. So I advise you, don't rush. You know, take your time, read properly, and don't worry if you don't finish. You get more reward, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah. Let's take a question from Brother Ihsan. There are two famous du'as that are said to be made when breaking the fast. So I'll just say the beginning of them. One of them is Allahumma dhamma wa dallat al-uruq and Allahumma inni lakasumtu. So he's asking, do we say them before putting the food in our mouth or after? And also, which of the two du'as should we be making? Or is it okay to interchange between both?
Yeah, and when you do iftar, just say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And after you have taken and done eaten and taken your water drink, then you say ذهب الظماء وابطلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله تعالى. So that dua is the more authentic, I think people should go for that one. But that you do same اللهم لك after to that also you know do after iftar. Before iftar you just say بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم or بسم الله أوله or something بسم الله in the name of Allah. But dua should be done after the breakfast, after you have eaten.
Okay, inshallah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, Sana is asking, I have two questions relating to Ramadan. Does suhoor end 10 minutes before Fajr or when Fajr begins?
No, there's no space between Fajr and suhoor. You know, when suhoor is when Fajr starts, that suhoor ends. You know, the Prophet said when Bilal say Adhan, then eat and drink. When Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum say Adhan, then stop eating. And Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum did not say Adhan until people tell him now it is the morning. But he was a blind man. So you see, when it's morning, then he said Adhan, then people stop. So you don't stop 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 2 minutes or 1 minute before, nothing. When the time of the fajr starts, that where you know suhoor ends. So there's no time between suhoor and fajr.
Okay, inshallah. Let's have a look. We have a question from Iram. Do we have to pray the Taraweeh in units of two, or can we pray this in units of four?
You know, the practice of the people have been for the Taraweeh, two rak'ah. And for night prayer, nafl prayer generally, two rak'ah. But if you do four, there's no harm in that. It's still fine. Actually, in night prayer, some people say you can do six rak'ah in one, go eight rak'ah. It's up to you. But generally, the practice that we know is the two rak'ah.
Okay, let's have a look for our next question, inshallah. Give me one moment. Okay. Is reciting from the Quran from a laptop screen in front during Taraweeh without any extra movement allowed? And I think this extends to an iPad, phone, any other thing.
You know, anything you read from the book, from Mus'haf, you read from the you know, computer, from anywhere, you know, just read the Quran. Don't do so much movements, you know, and you can do still fine, you know. Because enough of prayer, we allowed these things. Far further, I will not advise. Further, I'll say, memorize some surah that you read in the fard. But in the enough of prayer, and that's a Taraweeh enough prayer. Yeah, you can read from Mus'haf, you can read from laptop, you can read from, whatever is easier for you, any screen.
And just an extension on this question. Say, imagine, Sheikh, you have on your phone, you can have the Arabic and the translation next to it. Hypothetically, if someone was reading from their phone in Salah, would they be allowed to read the translation too?
Yeah, you know, the problem really is the nafla. To my mind, it should not be a problem. But many people will say, so I'd ask you to avoid the difference of the opinion among the ulama. So just read Arabic one. Don't read. Maybe you can think about the English one meaning while reading Arabic one, but don't read the English or other language. Just keep your prayer in Arabic as much as possible.
Okay, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Okay, we have a question from Rushita. When I get up for suhoor, I just get time to only do two rak'ah tahajjud and one rak'ah witr. Is it okay if I do not do three rak'ah witr?
Yeah, no, that's fine. You know, some ulama say witr is one rak'ah. So, you know, whatever you can do easily, that's fine. But I don't understand why it is always be like that. When you get up, you only get time for two rak'ah tahajjud and one rak'ah witr. It means intentionally you wake up very late. Why can't you just wake 2 minutes before that time? You know, two more rak'ah will meet 2 minutes. So How is it? I don't understand. If you want to pray two rakat tahajjud and three witr, you can make it. Just you need two more minutes. That's all. So I don't understand. If you can explain to me, why is it that it only happens that you only can do two rakah and one tahajjud and one rakah witr? Why you can't do more than that?
Okay, this next question is in reference to what you were speaking about earlier, Sheikh, when you said when you're fasting, not only would drinking or eating break your fast, but also backbiting or lying would break your fast. So, Sheikh, if someone did backbite or lie and they know they've technically broken their fast, does this mean then that they're not fasting anymore and they can now eat and drink? Or that they should just be repenting and continue trying to fast?
No, listen to people, you have to understand, it is good that you ask the question. You know, if you eat and drink in Ramadan or people have sexual relation, then they break their fast. If people lie or people backbite, they don't break the fast. You know, fast is still fine, it is going on, but they don't get benefit, they get sin. So you need to repent. So try. If somebody has backbitten someone in Ramadan, it does not mean that the fasting has finished. No, they have to continue the fasting. They don't need to do any qada. But they don't get any benefit, they get sin. So for that purpose, they need to repent to Allah, ask Him to forgive him, not to fast another day for that. So both are two different things. Eating and drinking and sexual relation, they can break your fast, but not by biting or lying, though they are very sinful things. They're more sinful. If you eat, you don't get much sin. But if you backbite, you get so much sin. So they're more sinful, but they don't break your fast in that sense. What you need to do is ask Allah to forgive you and repent to Him, inshallah.
Okay, JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. The next question is from Shahriya. I will try to just read it out because it's quite long. After I started reading the Quran and tried to understand the message, a change came in my lifestyle. But nowadays, I feel like I'm having the same secular lifestyle as before. I'm still reading the Quran every day and trying to understand what Allah is saying to me, but I feel like my lifestyle isn't changing sufficiently. I feel like I'm not best benefiting from the knowledge for my own actions or sins. I worry my carelessness may become a matter of regret for me. Can you tell me what to do to improve?
And the thing is that your feeling and your concern that you are not changing, that's a good sign. So that actually is a big change. You know, if people don't change and they feel they are not changing, that's also a good change. Because if people don't care, you know, they don't care anything. So you are caring something, that's a very, very important, really. And then after that, force yourself. You know, problem for us is we people think, do things when you get a mood. So Allah did not make the world like that. Do you think, you know, the Quran will create a mood for you and you become pious? This is not true. Maybe sometimes happen, but that's not what Allah wants, really. He wants you to learn the meaning and then force yourself to act. Then change will happen. If Quran said don't lie, then force yourself not to lie. If Quran, you know, says be honest, then be honest. If Quran says pray and get nearness to Allah, then make effort for that. Then you get the fruit and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if people think I read and suddenly a mood will come and I'll become pious, so that's not how Allah has made the world. Nothing. Everything is your effort. Actually, that's what slavery is. That we are slaves of Allah means we make effort to obey Him. So reading the Quran is not enough unless you force yourself to act upon the Quran. If you want the benefit of the Quran, then be like a slave. Whatever Allah commands, do it. And if you don't want to do, still force yourself. Then you will see amazing benefits, inshallah ta'ala.
Okay, let's take another question from Aram, and this is a zakah-related question. If your zakah date is set as, for example, the 1st of Ramadan every year, you have calculated your owed zakah on this date. Do you have to pay the calculated zakah in full on that same day, or is it okay to pay this throughout the month, as long as you calculated it on your due date?
You know, you don't need to pay same day. No, you can pay any time, really. It is better to pay as early as possible, so poor people can get whatever they need. But if you pay in the whole month of Ramadan, it's still fine. Even if you pay later after Ramadan, it's still fine. You know, as long as you pay, Allah will not ask you, because there's no qada in it. So you get the reward. Yeah, if you die and don't pay, it will be sinful. So it is better to pay as soon as possible. But if you delay, there is no sin in that, as long as you make sure that you pay, inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay, we have an interesting question from Ihsan. Is it valid that some people hope for so much reward reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas multiple times, as it is said that it equals one third of the Quran? But like Sheikh, maybe someone is taking the it quite literally, and maybe they're just reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas a lot and maybe forgoing the rest.
Yeah, you know, Surah Al-Ikhlas is one third, but it does not mean, you know, you read it three times, you come the whole thing. Quran has many, many meanings. So people should not make this hybrid. The Prophet did not do this. The companions did not do this. Read the Quran from beginning to end. Yeah, if sometimes you read more Surah Al-Ikhlas, that's fine. But don't make this hybrid. Treat the whole Quran properly. You know, all the Quran has the message of Allah. And every part of the Quran is benefit for you. So I will never encourage people to read one part or some part more than others. No. Read from beginning to end. But sometimes could be, like sometimes you read Ayatul Kursi, sometimes Qul Huwallahu Ahad, for certain benefits, that's fun, but don't make it as a habit.
Okay, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. My next question is, Sheikh, considering this is the month of the Quran and all of us are trying to complete our khatim and understand what we're reciting, how can we connect with surahs or parts of surahs that are quite, they're very focused on just laws. For example, in certain parts of Surah Al-Baqarah, where it's about divorce or menstruation or inheritance, how can we connect more with these verses?
You know, learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands is a very important thing, really. So if you have this in your heart that I want to know what he says, you know, even those verses, you know, Quranic verses, even if they are ahkam, they are not pure ahkam. All the time there comes a fear Allah, you know, it keeps coming between. So if you look in those verses of talaq and nikah, you know, the fear of Allah, name of Allah comes so often you cannot imagine, really. So all times, meaning is, basically, even if people are in dispute of the wife and husband, still Allah reminds them to fear Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Quran is all reminder. So read ahkam verses in order to know the ahkam, but also in between there will be reminder of taqwa and fear of Allah. And you see really your heart is moving even if you read these verses, because as I mentioned, the taqwa comes so often in these verses.
Okay, Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. Okay, this is a slightly different question, but I do like the topic. So Farah is asking, how do we work out when Isha prayer... Okay, never mind. How do you work out when Isha prayer finishes?
Isha time. Because prayer is 4 rakat when Imam says salam, that it finishes. Oh, you mean time. Time finishes, you know, they have work out, you know, you can find a timetable from your mosque and follow that. But otherwise, there is a certain rule for that. But in the summer in this country, in these days, Isha will be very, very, you know, late. So we don't follow that. The best thing left to, you know, I'm not going to explain to you the full fiqh of time of the salah. The best thing is to follow the timetable of your mosque where you pray. That's all. Just follow the timetable of that. To whatever time they write that this is the end of, beginning of Fajr, that when Isha ends. You know, when Isha ends, Fajr starts. So Isha time remains all the night until the Fajr.
Okay, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I actually read this question initially as a workout in terms of exercise. So I thought it'd be, I'd still like to kind of bring up that topic, Sheikh. Sometimes in Ramadan, when we're fasting, we use it as an excuse to be quite lazy. We don't go out. We can do our ibadah, but we normally stay at home, maybe in bed all day. What would you say to someone who maybe is just so much less active in Ramadan as they would be outside of it?
You know, when if you have some duties to do, you have to go and do that. But and also people need for their own health to walk around, you know, whatever they need. Month of Ramadan has not come to make you lazy. An ibadah does not mean really that you all the time just sitting. Ibadah can be done while walking, thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The companions used to do jihad in month of Ramadan, fighting, and they're fasting sometime. So, you know, I don't know why people. So if some people just sit at home, you know, they will be better than those who sin, but you know, they will have, you know, but they should be more active like believers. They should do more things in their life.
Okay, JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. Okay, the next question I feel like is probably a question a lot of women will be having, which is, what should menstruating women do to make full use of Ramadan? And also, Sheikh, can you maybe speak specifically about reciting Quran when a woman is menstruating?
Yeah, when women are menstruating, that's why they can't fast and they can't do salah. But they can do so many things. They can do all the dhikr. You know, they can, you know, read the Quran according to many people with the lips. And in Hanafi madhab, if they can't read with the lips, they can read with the eye. You know, don't you read the books with the eye? People read the books with the eye. So you hold the mushaf with something and read the meaning or read it with your eye. Don't you? But according to Imam Malik and Bukhari and I mean other people, even you can read with the lips. And that's what I follow. That, you know, women in menstruation, they can read the Quran with the lips as well. But if you want to follow Hanafi madhab, then still you can read the Quran and try to understand the meaning, but don't read with lips. That's what they say. If you read with the eye, they don't mind that. But you can do dhikr, you can think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his attributes, about the universe, and also you can focus how to avoid the sin. So, you know, if you learn how to avoid the sin, there's a big achievement in Ramadan. So, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this condition for the women for a reason. So if women are patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate that somewhere else. The best thing is try to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, avoid the sins, and do dhikr other than the prayer, any dhikr, you know, and also reading Quran mention and understanding the Quran.
Okay, inshallah. JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. The next question is actually in relation to your previous answer, Sheikh, about for those who are trying to rush the recitation of the Quran or trying to recite as much as possible. So she's asking, Sheikh, you said 1 hour of recitation will be rewarded regardless of how much we finish. But what about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said every letter will be rewarded 10 times? So is it not going to be quantity over quality?
You know, how can you explain to the people in those days? Nobody has a watch or time or something like that. So in the way is like, you know, you say if you read one of a letter, you get this reward. That's like, that is not actually very different like that. So if somebody spent 1 hour in the Quran, thinking, understanding, you know, they get reward of 1 hour. If somebody less, they get, like, you know, in those days, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he explained to the people what traveling. So he said 3 days and night, if somebody, but what actually is, it is a 48 miles, because the reason is in those days people didn't have the miles. There was no sign for the miles. People used to travel, you know, at the camels or walking, and they calculated by the day and night. So similarly, sometime, you know, they said, you know, if you read one letter or two letters, you get this reward. But meaning is not really the letter. Meaning is, you know, how much you think, how much you understand, and how much time you spend the Quran. If somebody spent, you know, sometimes the Imam Hanifa rahimahullah spent whole night in one verse. You know, if making more words, letters were important, he could have done. But sometimes he spent whole night just in reading one verse, and he gets reward for that. So don't worry about that, how many letters you read. Think really how much time you spend with Allah. Any moment that you spend Allah is never wasted. So make your time like, you know, 1 hour or 2 hours, or at least one khatam maybe if you want, but understand, try to understand, don't rush, that's not right.
Okay, inshallah. Let's take the next question, which is actually very interesting, Sheikh. Many of us are probably spending this Ramadan without some of our loved ones that didn't make it for this Ramadan. So this question is asking, can we gift our Quran Khatam reward in Ramadan to one of our recent deceased family members? Or what else can we do this Ramadan to maximize the benefit of the deceased?
You know, people who have died, you can do, you know, sadaqah on their behalf, to spend money and send it in for my father or mother who has passed away. So they get the reward of that. You can make dua for them. But you can't do ibadah on their behalf. Physical ibadah like reading the Quran or salah, you know, something like that. You're fasting. You can't fast on behalf of someone. You know, the rule in this matter is anything that physical, you can't do on somebody's behalf. Like eating, you can't eat on somebody's behalf, but you can't pay debt, you know, of, on somebody's behalf. So, you know, money, ibadah, which is from the, with money, that you can do on somebody's behalf, like sadaqah, charity. But ibadah, which is with your body, physical ibadah, like fasting and prayer or reading the Quran, that you can't do on somebody's behalf. But what you can do after reading the Quran, you make, can make dua. Dua you can do. So after reading the Quran, that's one of the best time when dua is accepted. Then make dua for forgiveness. So dua is accepted all the time. So read the Quran, but don't say to Allah, oh Allah, give the reward of my reading to so and so. Rather than say, oh Allah, forgives for so and so, you know, and make them nearer to you. Something like that. You can pay sadaqah or charity on their behalf, inshallah.
Inshallah. Let's try and take one more question and we'll try and keep it short, inshallah. Is it permissible to skip Jum'ah if your exam is happening on the same day or same time, I'm assuming, and just pray Dhuhr instead?
Yeah, you know, if there's no way that you can get a Jum'ah, yeah, then pray Dhuhr. Because, you know, the Islamic ahkam rulings about the forced conditions are different. When people are forced to do something, they're different. But like travelers, you know, they are not expected to do Jum'ah, they are forgiven. So similarly, if you are in the exam and you have no choice, unless they say give you 1 hour extra, they say, okay, you can go for Jum'ah and come back and then do your exam. I don't think they will do. If they allow something like that, then fine. But if they don't allow, don't worry. Do your exam and pray Zuhr and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you.
Okay, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I know we have a lot more questions, but unfortunately we'll have to stop it there, inshallah. But we will definitely be having another Q&A session in Ramadan, inshallah. So please do keep your eyes peeled. We'll be sharing the date, and inshallah we'll be having another 1 hour session soon. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for your time and for your reminders. And inshallah, I hope everyone was able to benefit as much as possible. So we will leave it there, inshallah. But just a quick announcement. If there's anyone new here today who's not familiar with As-Salam Institute, Sheikh Akram is the co-founder and the principal of As-Salam Institute. We offer Islamic scholarship programs. We do a foundational course program, the Arabic immersion year. We do Alimiyya courses, and they're all part-time. So if you're someone who's working full-time, you're a full-time mother, you're studying, and you want to commit to Islamic studies and you don't want to have to pick between the two, As-Salam Institute is for you, inshallah. So if you are interested, please head on to our website that's on the screen. Follow our Facebook, our Instagram, and actually, alhamdulillah, tomorrow is a very exciting day for us because our applications are open. So if you have any questions, just head on to our social media. You can ask us some questions. You can find out more, inshallah. All of our courses are all approved. And they're all approved by Sheikh Akram Nadwi, and you will have him as a teacher throughout the Alimiyya course as well, inshallah. So please do find out more, ask us questions, and keep an eye out tomorrow, inshallah. Applications will be opening. We've got some exciting things coming up. And again, inshallah, we'll be having another Ramadan program in about 2 weeks, inshallah, hopefully just before the last 10 nights. So we will see you then. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.